A smile of fortune harbor story. Ever since the sun rose, I had been looking ahead. The ship glided gently in smooth water. After a 60 days passage, I was anxious to make my landfall, a fertile and beautiful island of the tropics. The more enthusiastic of its inhabitants delight in describing it as the Earl of the Ocean. Well, let us call it the Earl. It's a good name. A pearl distilling much sweetness upon the world. This is only a way of telling you that first-rate sugar cane is grown there. All the population of the pearl lives for it and by it. Sugar is their daily bread, as it were. And I was coming to them for a cargo of sugar in the hope of the crop having been good, and of the freights being high. Mr. Burns, my chief mate, made out the land first, and very soon I became entranced by this blue, pinnacled apparition, almost transparent against the light of the sky, a mere emanation, the astral body of an island risen to greet me from afar. It is a rare phenomenon, such a sight of the pearl at 60 miles off. And I wondered half seriously, whether it was a good omen, whether what would meet me in that island would be as luckily exceptional as this beautiful, dreamlike vision so very few seamen have been privileged to behold. But horrid thoughts of business interfered with my enjoyment of an accomplished passage. I was anxious for success and I wished to do justice to the flattering latitude of my owner's instructions contained in one noble phrase. I leave it to you to do the best you can with the ship. All the world being thus given me for a stage, my abilities appeared to me no bigger than a pinhead. Meantime the wind dropped, and Mr. Burns began to make disagreeable remarks about my usual bad luck. I believe it was his devotion for me which made him critically outspoken on every occasion. All the same, I would not have put up with his humors, if it had not been my lot at one time to nurse him through a desperate illness at sea. After snatching him out of the jaws of death, so to speak, it would have been absurd to throw away such an efficient officer. But sometimes I wished he would dismiss himself. We were late in closing in with the land, and had to anchor outside the harbor till next day. An unpleasant and unrestful night followed. In this roadstead, strange to us both, Burns and I remained on deck almost all the time. Clouds swirled down the porphyry cracks under which we lay. The rising wind made a great bullying noise amongst the naked spars, with interludes of sad moaning. I remarked that we had been in luck, to fetch the anchorage before dark. It would have been a nasty, anxious night to hang off a harbor under canvas. But my chief mate was uncompromising in his attitude. Luck, you call it, sir. Our usual luck. The sort of luck, to thank God it's no worse. And so he fretted through the dark hours, while I drew on my fund of philosophy. Ah, but it was an exasperating, weary endless night, to be lying at anchor close under that black coast. The agitated water made snarling sounds all around the ship. At times a wild gust of wind out of a gully high up on the cliffs struck on our rigging a harsh and plaintive note like the wail of a forsaken soul. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.